Welcome to GalacticConnection.com. We are committed to expanding perspectives, bringing forth cutting-edge information and education, and preparing and assisting the planet for the up-and-coming events associated with stepping out of this 3D matrix. We intend to connect minds and hearts around the globe in order to attain global unity and galactic acceptance. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you the most current topics in the news, as well as education, research, healing information, and out-of-this-world perspectives regarding a variety of topics. For example, you can look forward to discussions on global communities, governments, countries, planets, solar systems, ancient civilizations, and beyond, in addition to metaphysical individuals, angels, extraterrestrials, UFOs, galactic brotherhoods, high councils, and ascended masters. Our guests are experts in these fields, and our GalacticConnection.com show promises to be very thought-provoking.
Let us be together, let us progress and triumph, let us gain energy and momentum. Lead us to clarity, feeling of unity, let there be peace, peace, peace and wonder.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday afternoon. Yay! And we have a new guest with us today. Please welcome Jerry Yusko. Or is it Yusko? Pronounce it? Yusko. Sorry, Jerry.
That's right.
Jerry is a very interesting guy. I met him at the Awaken Aware conference up in Glendale. And I was so impressed with his healing abilities and his passion to make sure people are educated. I think that was one of the things that really distinguished you from the rest of the people I met, was that you had this great passion to make sure that people really knew their gifts. And, you know, it's like you would make sure if they were not very confident about their gifts, you would actually walk them through it. And I just thought that was so refreshing, Jerry. I just wanted to tell you that. But I really wanted you to start out with just giving everybody a little bit of a background. We just for your information, folks, we really threw this together at the last minute for Jerry and myself. And so you're going to have to bear with us. Jerry has a website that's up right now called www.blending. Is it theblending.net?
Theblending.net.
Okay. And so if you have any kind of technical difficulties accessing it, you can also reach Jerry. Jerry, why don't you go ahead and give him your Facebook link?
It's Jerry Yusko. It's Facebook Jerry Yusko, I guess.
yeah, Jerry, you spell it.
Okay. Then we have another one called Jerry's Blending.
Ah, there we go. I like that even better. Jerry's Blending. I like that. So anyway, Jerry, I want you to go ahead and give everybody a little bit of a background. I haven't even had a chance to find out a little bit about how you started this walk with being able to, you know, have some of the gifts that you have. And later on, we'll get into the ETs as well.
My background started from the age of 4 or 5 when I was in Cuba. I had an extraterrestrial experience with my father. When he was making his rounds at an MP on the military base. And from that time on, I've had two types of trainings. One from the Greys and the Angelic family, which are now, the angels and stuff.
Now, when you say trainings, can you give me a little bit more specifics on what that entailed?
Yeah, the Greys adopt. Well, the Greys. The Grey encounter I had as a child was based upon the fact of what I'm doing here now. I remember my past lives, and I remember coming from Sirius B to Atlantis. So on Atlantis, I was a scientist, and from that point, I lived a lot of different lifetimes and I've always been a teacher. Yeah. And one of the reasons what I'm doing here today is I'm trying to educate people on how to be within their own power with our star family. And this all has to go back to the fact that the Grace taught me the fundamentals of physics and science.
Interesting.
And so I've worked on a lot of different projects with them and had contact over the years with different species. And to balance it all out, I had the intuitive knowledge and the trainings of the angels, if you wish to call them that, and the ascended masters.
Fantastic. What a great, well-rounded education. Now, what is your feeling about, you know, there's so much negative publicity or commentaries about the Greys. What is your perception on that?
Okay, I through my own dealings, I found out that there's two types of Greys, and I've worked with them both. One is the military Greys that will actually work with the governments of not only our government but of the world's. And then there's what I call passive Greys that literally all they're really trying to do is extend their life because they lost their home planet, and it does go into the cloning aspect. But there's so much more to them, I found out. They're misrepresented, in my opinion. I think the people got the wrong idea. They're very logical-minded. But they do have a compassion.
I was going to ask you, do you feel that they are in touch with their feeling? I mean, do they have like a feeling side? I've read that they don't. So I was curious what you thought about that.
It depends on almost the color that they are, because there's different colors and variations of grays I found out. The ones that I have dealt with personally, they do have feelings, but they're not human emotions. I've been to their home planet, I could describe it, and they took me there because I wanted to go, first of all. And then second of all, their race is dying out. And I actually saw them in the hospital, of them caring for each other as they would be passing on.
Wow. Wow. So did you see them actually emoting?
Tell me what your definition of emoting is.
Well, I mean, were they sorrowful? Were they crying? I mean, you know, I keep reading that there are specific species that just do not have the emotional bodies like the humans do.
My experience was they didn't cry. What they did was they felt the death of the passing of another.
Wow.
So my master, or my teacher, the Elder Gray, we went into a hospital, and there was a dying Gray. And what he did is he took the Gray's hand, and he felt the passing of the Gray. And you can see the embassy of this, I guess if you want to call it sorrow, of one of their own dying.
Wow.
And, you know, it's funny because everything in the universe that I've met or seen so far has some level of expression of emotion. It's just only because they don't express it like we do, it doesn't mean that they're without.
That's a really good point. Really good point. It's all in our perspective, isn't it?
Yes. And so, you know, the fact that I've heard horror stories where they say the Greys have abducted people and did horrible experiments on them and all like that. But then you ask, well, was it a military Grey, you know, benevolent or non-benevolent? They can't really tell you. Mm-hmm. And because I found out that most people don't know how to act within an encounter, they don't know what they're capable of doing or what their rights are as a spiritual being.
Now talk a little bit more about that. You know, you said that people don't know how to act when they have an encounter. What exactly do you mean by that? What would be the right way to act if you had an encounter?
I learned through my own experience that you do need to ask their name, kind of like rank and serial number. And that's only so you have identification. In case anything goes wrong, you can bring them to arbitration or help them correct what they did to you. I don't know how many people know about the governing laws of this planet and what extraterrestrial races can and cannot do to you. There's so much that's happening right now that we are in such a great upcoming of evolution and ascending that we have so much, connection to source that we can overcome our fears. And if you understand that any race that you encounter right at this point, if you walk in your own divinity and divineness, they have no power over you.
Wow. Now that is huge. And I've read that, but to hear that from somebody like yourself who is a contactee, that's a great, great, great thing to share with people today. I mean, seriously, that's awesome, Jerry.
Well, thank you. And it's just, you have to know what the planetary laws are.
Yeah, so you're standing in your authority and you're standing in confidence.
Yes. The great thing about us going into this new photonic energy of 2013 is we are individually responsible for our own self right now. But the greatest part of that is we now choose who and what we are going to ascend or evolve to become.
Yeah, that is truly a gift.
And this is what I teach people, how to stand within their own power. And we have all these gifts, and I just help people bring them out. And so I just help them see what they're capable of doing. I don't give them anything that they don't already have within them.
Now, how do you – tell me a little bit about – I was reading your website, and it said that you're very good at reading auras. You're actually very good at being able to see within people's third eye, you know, to see if it's blocked or you know, operating properly. I think there were a couple other things about, you know, if there were angels hanging around with them. Tell me a little bit more about that. How do you actually – what's your first thing to do when you scan someone that you're working with?
The first thing I basically do is I just look to see the color of their aura, the energy coming off their body. And from that, I can normally tell what's happening. And I'm very fortunate that I have a gift where I can read the etheric field of a person. So I put my hands over their hands, and I can see imagery. It's almost like if the body talks to me in imagery, because it doesn't have words.
Very good.
And then I can take the image and explain to what's happened to the person. Now, the other thing I can do is from that I can go into the mind. I can see past lives. I can see the way the brain's working. I can tell different aspects of that person. And then from that, being connected to source, I can bring down what they are lacking in at that moment and help them reconnect to their self.
Very cool. And I do want to add, Jerry worked with me on my third eye. And I wanted to tell you this, Jerry. I haven't even had a chance because I've been so busy. Ever since then, I mean, I've been able to see the Flower of Life grid when I close my eyes now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been, I mean, just, it's amazing. I've been able to see, like, phenomenal colors and shapes and things like that far more than I ever did before. So I just wanted to let you know. It was awesome.
Thank you very much. There is something really important. I hope you don't mind me saying this real quick before I forget.
No, not at all.
Human beings might feel like they're going through a shift of energy, and some people might not understand it. They need to take a really hard look at themselves. And they need to determine whether they wish to go back to their star family or if they wish to go to an angelic side of energy. And that's really important because what I'm finding out when I read people is some people are caught between two different paradigms of shifting energy, and our physical bodies can't take it right now.
Oh, so that's why you did that. I was wondering why you asked me that. Okay.
Yes. But once you told me where you were going to go, I could help you reestablish your connections.
And is one better than the other or more advantageous than the other? Or is it just really a point of reference and a point of choice?
It's a point of choice and reference only in the aspect that our bodies are still dense in energy. And to not basically tear the body apart, if you only have one cycle of energy in you, you can start acclimating to that type of energy. And then you can always change later on, but it makes it easier transformation as you're either going through your evolution process or your ascension process.
Interesting. So the evolution process is more the angelic and the ascension's more the star family?
No.
No.
The evolution is becoming aware of your capabilities of what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not all people are going, from what I can tell, are going to actually ascend. But ascending means that you actually become, when you're aware enough, as a master. If you're going to be ascending to light, a rainbow light child, or back to a master, or what type of abilities are you bringing forward to help humanity? The evolution process is self-discovery of, wow, I have these abilities. Now what do I do with them? Where ascension is, you already know that you have the abilities and you know what to do with them to help other people.
You know, that is such a good point. That's where I really connected with you, was every one of us has these gifts and abilities. And it's not just enough to go through your ascension and increase your awareness and, you know, work on your consciousness and these sorts of things. It's also very important at this particular time. We are at such a pivotal time for humanity that we use that in order to assist others. You know, it's kind of like Deepak Chopra. You know, we touch one person and that touches however many, you know, else. This is a very important time for us to spread that light.
Yes. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help people come into their own unique gifts and power, taking back their power, if you really look at it that way. Because there was never any power that they ever gave away.
Very interesting. So now you also mentioned to me that you interact a lot with the praying mantises. I think they're called Atheans or something like that. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Remember I told you I went to the Gray's home planet?
Yes.
When they brought me back, they brought me back, but they didn't put me back in my body within sync. So they left me a few milliseconds out of of time sync. So my brain, the synapses didn't receive the electrical signal and create the right enzymes and stuff for me to function correctly. And so what would happen was my eyesight would go blurry. I would go through different states of emotional being, either really lethargic, where I'm happy all the time, or I go really depressed. I didn't care about anything anymore. I was going through all these different mood swings. I couldn't sleep, or I'd oversleep. And I realized what happened. So I went back to the Grays and said they had to fix this, which they did. And that's when they introduced me to the praying mantis. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was scared. I was scared because my subconscious mind knew about praying mantis of this world. And praying mantis can be very vicious. They can attack their predators, basically. But the ones I met, they were very loving and very open. I mean, they knew of my fear, and they were going to help me reconnect mentally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, and everything. But I was too afraid. because of what they wanted to do, or how they wanted to do it, actually. And so when I turn around to run, they literally grabbed me and held me while this creature that I don't know what they are, but he was olive color. He had little sections come out of his forehead, and it hit me in about six places on my mind, on my
head.
Whoa,
really?
Yeah, but it realigned me, and I functioned correctly after that. But the greatest thing was after that, the praying mantis did so much more for me. They opened up a new world of empowerment, of connection, of love, of understanding, how I saw my fellow human being, actually desiring to fulfill my reason why I came here. I already knew, but the actual desire and accomplishment of wanting it done. And because of that, it gave me different authority. And the other thing about this is they gave me the, and I shouldn't say this, but they gave me the ability to ask the Greys for help when I needed it. Almost like if the Greys, I'm part of the Praying Mantis family now.
Very good. In fact, the Praying Mantis is one of the main factions of the Guardian Alliance. And I've never read anything about them being predatorial. I've primarily read stories about how they're very loving. They usually wear a cloak over their bodies so that they don't scare people. I was wondering if that happened to you.
No, they didn't. And
they didn't.
Remember, they weren't scary to me. My mind, because I was there, I was like there in the flesh. I mean, and my subconscious mind remembered how praying mantis act on this world.
Ah.
Okay, so I was relating praying mantis to this world.
Got it. Okay.
Not to what they did. I mean, I knew that they were loving and they brought me no harm. But this is the thing about making contact on a full thing. Your mind can play tricks on you. You can say, yeah, I want to make contact. I want to do all this. But when you're right there in the midst of it and you're seeing something that's alien to you for the first time, and it's not like they were little. They were tall. They were, 8 feet tall to 9 feet tall. I'm going, whoa. And there was more than one of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So my brain acted in flight. I was in self-preservation mode, which is because I encountered something new.
Well, so isn't that a normal reaction for most first-time contactees of this nature? I mean, I know that I know many that are contactees with like the Pleiadians, where they look so much like us, it's not as big of a deal, you know.
You know, I'll be honest with you on that. If they didn't want to have this creature put these suction cups on my head, and if I hadn't have been so out of alignment, it probably would have been no big deal. But now, since everything is basically realigned, I had another encounter with them.
Interesting.
And this is, I was surrounded by thousands of them.
Oh my gosh. When was this?
We're going about maybe 9 months ago.
Oh, so recently.
Yeah. But it changed my whole structure, my whole energy form. What happened was they took me, it felt like I was aboard ship, and literally I was down on my stomach. And there's different color praying mantis I found out, too. And what I did was I was able to rise up to my rise off my stomach with my hands and knees, and then I got up on my knees, and I literally took 1, 2, 3 steps toward this praying mantis. He was up on a rock face, it looked like to me. He was taller than the rest of them. He was old, and he was like a pale white.
Wow.
And after the third step, I just fell down and I was totally exhausted. There was so much energy coming from them.
Wow.
I physically couldn't take it. Even in an astral body, I couldn't take it.
Wow. And this is because they are such higher vibrational beings, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but they did a lot for me after that. I supposedly have contact with different races. I go out and work. It's one of the reasons why I can do all the different things that I can do. We had these abilities naturally. It's just that after that, everything really accelerated for me.
So, Jerry, do you think that this, the reason that you're able to remember this and that you've been contacted and that you're working very passionately to help people reestablish their connections with their abilities, do you think that it has a lot to do with your past life in Atlantis?
Actually, I don't. I really, what I think it is what's happening right now at the present time. The human race is changing as a biological and spiritual essence. And what I mean by that is, for some people, our bodies are becoming less dense and we're becoming able to manipulate energy a lot more. And when I used to teach class, I used to ask a simple question to my students, and that was, when do you know that you're using 11% of your brain instead of 10%? Or when do you know that you're using 15%? So how do you start judging when you're capable of using more of your brain?
And what's the answer?
The answer is when you are able to do things that you were not able to do before. And if
very
you notice, if you notice, a lot of people now are waking up and going, oh, I can see auras, or I believe that I can start healing people, or I have these abilities to predict the future and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't understand why. Or they'll dismiss it. But the thing is we're changing. And this is what we're here to do, help those people that are changing to understand the reasons why, so we can make a better humanity. It's time that we start getting out of war and start focusing on what we're capable of doing as Christ-like people, as masters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, that's why I'm doing this, is to try to bring people like you that have that message forth and to remind everybody, we have to leave this master-slave mentality. It's this programming that has been really thrust upon us. And it is our job. It is our responsibility to put it down on the ground and let it go. You know, let go of it. And
yes.
One of the best ways to become less programmed is to step into your spiritual connection.
Well, what would you rather do? Would you rather have the kingdoms to heaven of what all that you were created to be able to do, or still stay within your own hell by believing in people who wish to have power over you?
Very good. Boy, that's a good point. Well, so let me ask you, now you said you started having these experiences back when you were, did you say four years old?
Four or five, yeah.
Four or five? So that was like your first experience seeing an actual ET, was at the age of four?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I had such a relationship with the grays, I used to be able to go to their ship at will.
Amazing.
No, I knew my spirituality even then. I knew who I was.
Now, do you actually remember being born on like another planet or in another star system?
When I was 17, I went through my past lives, and I actually remember seeing myself born here. My past lives, and then going all the way back to Sirius B, where I came from. I remember coming to Atlantis. Mm. It took us 6 months. It was a 6-month journey back then.
Wow. Now, is that stuff that you can help people do, is to reach their past lives, to understand themselves more fully?
Yes. In
And
fact,
how,
I can also go ahead.
well, I was just going to say, how do you go about doing that? What's the most successful way of extracting that type of information, of knowing what their past lives are?
Because I have the gift to see what's inside their mind,
Okay.
I can literally go back to that point with them and help them through the guilt or the trauma or whatever they need to do or repair it. I just had a lady this weekend in my class that I was teaching. She had so much trauma from some of her past that she literally felt it all just explode like a volcano to go out through her. And then she was reconnected. And
Wow.
for a while there, she was saying, I have no identity because her slate was cleaned. It was like she was touched, her spirit retouched or reconnected to show her that she can get what she wants out of this life.
Oh
And
God,
she
that's
just,
so fabulous.
well, you do know that at this point, and I'm going to be breaking some rules here, but we're not tied to the old paradoxes of karma at this point. We're not tied to contracts right at this point. We're not contracted to anything that would enslave us to another person. And you know the reason why, right?
Well, yeah, I think from what I've received and the information that I've gotten from my own guidance was that we had the what do you call it?
The walls.
Yeah, no, I was trying to think of what else it's called. We had the whole thing lifted. What am I trying to say?
The veils from us are
Yes. No, but
okay.
we're off of quarantine. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Is that true?
That's the easiest way to look at it. The reason why I say it is because right now, if we were still tied genetically to each other through energy, we would still be carrying the burdens of each other, which would mean that you would not be able to ascend on your own or advance because that energy would be tying you down. God, in His grace of wisdom, set up a foundation over a long time ago that at this point in time, because of this new energy coming in from the galactic center, and the fact that He knew that the Mayan calendar was going to end and that we were going to start ascending and evolving. He made it so we do so without the interference of energy from each other. So that means that the people that are fighting in the Middle East, at one time, their karmic energy would have been tied to the whole human race, but it isn't anymore. It's just tied to their own actions of what they allow themselves to keep doing.
So basically, we are wholly and individually responsible for our own ascension path.
Yes.
So that
And
is, that's good news.
well, there's no other way you could do it if you were tied to other people's energy.
Correct.
Because if I
Yeah.
wanted you to stop from being an evolved spirit, I just had to go out and commit wrong, like just what happened a while back with the bombings.
So, is this something that you think was occurring at other world ages coming to an end? You know, is it part of the times, or is it in this special world age time?
I think it's for the time, because for the next 1,000 years, we're supposed to be going through a new field of energy.
So
And
tell us a little bit about that, because I'm really interested. You've obviously been communicating a great deal with the Greys, correct?
well, not only the Greys, the Palladians, all different types of races. I mean, I'm the aquatics. God, I mean, how many races could I tell you? Let me see.
I know you told me about the Syrians, because we have that Syrian
Yeah.
connection, definitely.
Well, okay, you have
So you've got the Zeta Reticuli,
right. You have
the Lyrans.
which are really interesting. But the main ones that I have, and I have two statues of them, is the tall white Zetas. They have helped me out so much. In fact, I have two of them, and one of them actually gave me birth on her planet, just so I know the culture of their world.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about the culture of their world, the tall white Zetas.
Well, first of all, they do have a language. It's not a language we would understand. It's more like a dolphin language. But they learn how to speak before they learn how to mentally communicate.
Wow.
And language is really important. They develop communication as an infant, but you have to learn how to communicate in a language. They're different than us completely. I mean, their society is based upon a unity of living in harmony with each other, where we're not basically that way.
Yeah, far from it, that's for sure.
But you know what? The funny thing about extraterrestrial life is what they have is what humanity is trying to achieve.
You know, yeah, it's like a model for us.
Yeah, but we keep saying that we're not capable of having utopia. Yet that's what we strive for. And the extraterrestrial families already have done it because they've been through where we're at. And yet we're afraid to have contact with them. That's a paradox. I don't understand it.
Oh, that's a really good point. And you're making another good point, which is if they can do it, we can definitely do it.
And I don't know if you know this or how many people you talk to, but last year a whole lot of different races came in just to see our evolutionary process right at this point. What have we decided to do? Which direction are we going to take our world?
Yeah, I had heard that there's like thousands, if not more, just checking us out, watching us almost like we're in a petri dish, and they're just super fascinated by how we're going to make it through this ascension process.
Yes. And I would like to come out with flying colors, to be honest. I really want the human race to achieve a higher expectation than what we already have. That's why I like teaching people. And if I can help them bring out their gifts, you know, Christ said, give a fish for a man for the day and you taught him how to eat. But if you teach him how to fish, you taught him how to eat for a lifetime. And the way I look at it, if you teach a person how to bring out their gifts, use them for the betterment of mankind, you created a better humanity toward each other.
I definitely agree. And I commend you because there aren't that many that are so assertive. I mean, I was really impressed with the fact that you said, for example, Alexander, you have the gift of healing. And you just went to task right then and there. Okay, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to show me how you heal. And you really motivated me. And in fact, Julie's online right now, kind of hanging in the background. And I ended up doing a psychic surgery on her.
Oh, wow.
Because of you.
No, because of you.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying is you gave me the spark. You gave me the catalyst.
Well, thank you.
You know?
You humble me. I always feel like if someone comes to me and I get to do something for them, then I'm the one who walks away the more enlightened, better person. Because they trusted me enough to come to me and ask, you know, help me with what I am and who I am. I mean, what better gift can another person offer you?
I so agree with you, especially when I'm making my remedies. It's such an honor. I mean, people might think that we're just being nice about it, but really, truly, when you're on the other side of the fence, I think part of it's because of all the work I've done. And I know I'm compassionate enough to know where they are. And I'm impressed enough to see that they really want to be free and they really want to understand themselves. And so it's such a, it is, it's very humbling. You know, it does constantly remind you that you are me and I am you and we, and you are us, you know, or how that, however they say it, we are we.
Yes.
So, but anyway.
But you know the things that are happening, right? You know that people, at least I'm going to try to start a grassroots movement for connection.
Yes.
Start a grassroots movement for bringing people's abilities together. There are so many people that need help right now. And one of the things that I hope that we can do in the future is the people that are serving over in the Middle East or around the world, I'm hoping that our government, because I'm really training people on how to use, not only how to use their gifts, but how their gifts are used in a scientific term. So if people work in light, I tell them, okay, these are the spectrums I see you work in, and this is how it works in the body. If they're working with vibrations, I can say, okay, these are the vibrational notes I've heard or seen, and that you're working in C minor, C sharp, and this is how it reflects in the body. The one thing that we need to start doing for the people that are in the metaphysical world is we need to start learning our trade in a scientific manner so we can show people that we're not just bringing all this from source, even though that's where it's coming from, but how from source is used in a scientific means of proving it.
I agree, because this is a really important time to be melding the spirit with science. It's not just all spirit.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And then it opens up so much more opportunities to be able to help those people that are in trauma or need reconnection without fear or ridicule or disbelief.
Yes, and I really do. I was going to ask you next. I would love for you to talk a little bit about what you and I have been discussing about setting up our own event. I would love for you to talk a little more about what is the intention behind that, because I'm fired up.
Are you talking about contact?
Yeah, that and no, but the other thing that you had talked to me about, which is reuniting, you know, gathering together those that are not only, you know, metaphysically and spiritually inclined, but they're also aware of their gifts and therefore can move forward. They're not in the in-between stage of, gee, I really don't know what I can do, or, you know, I don't have the confidence yet, or I'm still searching, or I'm not ready there for that yet. They're the people that are ready to step out and really start making a difference. And
oh, you're talking about the Ascended Masters.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to talk about that.
Okay. A friend told me not to talk about that right at the moment, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because you brought it up.
Well, don't do it if you don't want to. I'm not pushing you, so.
Well, no, but that's really important because people need to know that the Ascended Masters are back here. And that goes on the angelic side. And right now, I'm looking for two groups of people. Ones that are earth angels and understand who they are and their connection to source through being an angel, as well as those who are enlightened enough to know who their star families are and have acknowledgement to be able to make contact without fear. And the whole thing behind that we were talking about is it's not just enough of wanting to make contact. It's knowing the mannerisms of what race you're going to be connecting to. Knowing your own self-awareness, knowing the planetary laws, knowing how to re-interact with a species. Because, for example, it's one thing to be able to interact with a Palladian one way, But then if you went around a gray, you'd have to act a completely different way.
Yes.
Or if you went around a tall white Zeta, you would have to your mannerisms is what it comes down to. One thing I found out about all life forms that are intelligent, if you use manners, and we have got out of it for some reason, but remember when I was growing up, we used to say yes, please, no, thank you, and was courteous.
Yes, yes.
It really pays to be courteous to extraterrestrials.
Yeah, it's just like I opened the door for older men, you know? It's just a gesture of showing, hey, I honor you.
Yeah, it's a respect, and in return, they respond with respect.
And you know what, Jerry? This is no different than the diplomatic, section of our political realm. You know, they have to perfect all of the different mannerisms and ways of interacting, and what to say and not to say, and what to not eat, and you know, how to sit and how to shake hands or maybe not shake hands.
Yes.
It's no different. But the biggest difference is, look how many. I mean, how many star systems are we talking about that are potentially going to be visiting our Earth? It's very exciting.
And this is the key. This is why when you learn to reconnect back into spirit, you can learn how to walk equally among all races. And this is one of the things that I'm really trying to teach and get across to people. Because within spirit, we're all equal. Regardless of what type of physical body you're in. The only thing that divides us at that point is our identity of reflections through those bodies.
Very interesting, yes. So are you basically teaching people about these laws? And, you know, one of the questions that I've always wanted to ask you is, if you have the intention to say, I want to meet a gray, and you're intending that if you were in this group, would you in fact manifest that?
Yes, and I have.
Okay.
Okay, now there are some people that I could actually get a hold of, and I actually have proof from where they sent me that. They were afraid to have contact. And after I got over the initial fear, I set it up so they could have contact. They would call me. Let me know that they would see a ship or something. And then the next morning, they would send me the most obvious one is the triangles that appear upon people once in a while.
Yes.
Are a little scoop mark out of them.
Wow.
Yeah, so I actually have people where they have actually sent me proof of their contact after they asked me for that.
Huh. Now, I've read about that too.
Well, here's the thing. I need to really sit down. I found out with people, and some of them remember now. They remember now their experiences, but for people who are beginning, teaching them the guidelines, the ways to remember, and how not to be taken advantage of.
You know, this is so interesting. This is coming up because I had a very, very explicit dream this morning, and it might have just been because I was interviewing you today. And in the dream, there was a flotilla of UFOs, and they were flying over my house. And I was with a group of friends. I think, Julie, you were there, and we were looking up at them, and I was thinking to myself, I wonder if they know what I'm thinking. And I sent them a thought that I wish that they would land and come talk to me. And sure enough, one of the ships actually turned around and landed in my front yard and got out and started talking to me. And I remember sitting there in my mind thinking, what do I do to assure that I know that this is a benevolent ET? So what would you say to people about that?
The first thing is, whenever I encounter a being, I go by my, we're going to call it a gut instinct, okay? What do I fear them, or am I attracted? And why is the fear there? And then here again, I always ask them who they are, what race are they from. I ask them questions. I always let them know that even though they see me within a physical form, I am of a spirit and connected to source as they are.
Mm.
And once I made that connection with them, the rules change.
Interesting. Because there's like you're on the same playing field, so to speak.
Yes. You're okay. On the same playing field, because now I'm talking to them spirit to spirit, not physical entity to physical entity. Yeah. So, to be honest with you, I almost feel I fear some human beings more than I do extraterrestrials.
I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Well, so you said that was the first thing you would do. What would be the second thing you would do?
After I got the name rank, I'd find out what they wanted or how we were going to interact. The funny thing is, the government has a quarantine law against actual physical encounter with extraterrestrials.
Hmm.
And the reason why is because if you truly had an encounter, could you have a bacteria? Could you bring in an epidemic of unknown proportions to the human race? And second of all, and most important is, if you could prove you had the encounter, that might disturb the balance of the human race, religious-wise and other politically too.
Just like the UFO disclosure project.
Right. Well, here's the funny thing about that. In a court of law, you have what they call circumstantial evidence. And you can try a person on circumstantial evidence even if you do not have a body. But you can have, you know, the means, the motive, and everything else that they could have used in order to get rid of a, you know, to get rid of someone or cause harm to someone else, even though you don't have the actual physical evidence of the proof of the body. It's amazing, because that can convict a person, yet you take the same evidence that we have for the UFO encounters of all the different galaxies out there, all the different worlds that we're finding, all the different sightings, all the different testimonies, and you bring it to a court of law, and they still say you don't have proof because you don't have a body.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what more do they truly need?
Correct.
And so my agenda is, well, if you truly want proof, don't put a law against finding it.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would really make sense. Hey, in fact, Jerry, I don't know if you heard about it. Did you hear about the, there were like 17 ships that flew over Arizona yesterday? Did you hear about this?
No, but I have a friend that lives up there, and I think you know her, Cynthia Crawford.
Yeah, I love Cynthia.
And she was telling me that just a few days ago, they had a whole bunch of ships flying over the mountain that she lives by.
That's what I'm talking about. And I think over 100 people saw it.
Yes. Yeah, then I heard about it.
Ah.
Well, there's a big event coming again. And this is why it's so critical that people start acclimating to what they are or what they wish to become.
So now when you say there's a big event, what are you referring to?
Okay, before 2012, I don't know if you felt like people felt there was this urgent need and something big was going to happen.
Yes.
And then nothing really happened on 2012 going into 2013. But something really did happen. The energetic field of energy that we were all connected in dissipated between us. And that's why we don't all feel an urgency, like something's going to happen. But this time we feel like we're aware. At least the people that I know.
Yes.
They feel like we're in the eye of the hurricane, and the eye's moving out eventually. Now, I don't look at anything until almost the middle of 2014, to be honest. Because it's just not enough time to give people the insight of what we are evolving to.
I agree. I agree. And especially the numbers.
Yes, just before the numbers. That's why, like you were talking earlier, the masters need to start ascending back. And the masters that are here, they need to start teaching the teachers, and the teachers need to start going out and teaching worldwide. But one thing I found out about the human being is we have a whole bunch of people like you and other people, but we're still what I call in cell groups, splinter groups. And what I'm going to try to work for, and it's going to take a big undertaking and a lot of money probably, is to get us unified. And that's the reason why governments work so well. They're unified within a system of money, because they have the best monopoly scheme going, or pyramid scheme, because you're dragged into it whether you want to be or not through the way the system's founded.
Correct.
So what we need to do is we have the internet, which is our way of connecting together. And we really need to start establishing larger and larger base groups, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I agree, Jerry. It's like you and I are so much on the same page, because this really ties in with my project. And I would love to call you back on to go over that in a little more detail. I don't mean to cut you off, but we are running out of time. Go ahead and give everybody your website again and your Facebook again so they can contact you, since I know many people will be interested in stepping into their gifts.
Okay. The website is for Facebook. It's Jerry Yusko, The Blending.
Jerry's Blending.
Jerry's Blending. Sorry, Jerry's Blending.
Good old Julie's in the background. And you guys, you spelled Jerry Yusko. It's J-E-R-R-Y, and it's Y-U-S-K-O, by the way.
Yes, Y-U-S-K-O.
So anyway, Jerry, you have been very enlightening, as always. And I look forward to working alongside you, because we are so much on the same page. It's scary.
Well, same here. I really do.
Yeah,
and I have some other things going in the works, and I hope they work out. And if they do, I will definitely get you involved.
I would love it. I would love it. And we will do this. We will make this happen. I really believe that in my heart. So anyway, everybody, I want to thank everyone again for coming on to BBS Radio Tuesday afternoons at 4:00. Continue to stay tuned. Next week, we've got Cobra again. I'm sure everybody will be looking forward to that. So stay tuned, and we will have Jerry on again for some more interesting, juicy ET information. And we hope you all do well. Take care, and have a great day.
And thank you very much.
You are welcome. Take care.